It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Feared of us knowing the truth. And, you know, I tell you who knows the truth more than anyone else is kids. You can't get away from the kids. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I've spoken at a lot of schools. And of course, you got your children. And I have four kids, two boys, two girls from 20 to 24, you know, or 25 now, whatever. I'll get in trouble. That's mom's job. But the thing is that, you know, you have all their friends. You know, they're football players and cheerleaders and volleyball and everything. My house was just saturated. The walls are dripping in testosterone and estrogen all the time, man. It was just, you know, and me and my wife, Donna, we knew we were living in good times but we were looking forward to the break.
Yeah, I hear that.
We're going, yay. But you know, when this is over, man, because you're always
tired.
No, you're always going to some function, you know, staying out late, traveling hundreds of miles to go to football games, you know, up in northern, whatever. So it's just, it's been a pleasure, and we've always had an opportunity to invest in our own children, and we, with the Levolution, we had an opportunity to invest in Generation Next, and we continue to help them. We continue. Oh, you didn't know this? You know, Liberty on Tour, they have the RV and Astana and everything.
Right.
They're doing a ship, a sailing ship.
A ship
that's going. From it's like $80,000 they're getting this boat, right? A sailboat. And it's going to Bermuda, and then the following year, to Bahamas and so on. And then the following year, they're going and cruising the Caribbean looking for freedom beaches or whatever. You know,
that's fabulous.
People, and I go, mainsail, it's all mine.
All right.
A big freedom speech bird on that one. Yeah. You know, we're going from, I can't get on the shorts, fine. I'll get on big giant sail.
There you go.
Because, you know, it's not going to cost that much, you know, and it's just to help them. It's just to get an opportunity to help promote it and so on. Because these guys, they want to associate themselves with Freedom's Phoenix because we stand for something. I mean, a lot of people don't know. They'll go up at Freedom's Phoenix and go, what the heck's this neocon doing here? What's this liberal guy doing? Yeah, bring them all on so we can beat them up. So we just, you know, we have a good time. And we promote this next generation because that's the only thing that's going to save our sorry butts. They have to go in knowing what the jig really is. I tell you, our friends, it was a friend of mine, a guy named Lon Weber, and his son Josh is a brainiac. He's one of those, you know, big IQ kids, whatever, graduates, honors, masters, computer technology, goes to Chicago making all kinds of, you know, he tells us all the new technology coming. We're like, really? Oh, my goodness. And when he was young, he turned 16, he's getting his driver's license, and he goes, this is what I did. Lon says, I took him to the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, to get his driver's license. Everybody has to go to the DMV. I mean, you want to see a cross-section demographic of America? Go to the DMV. Because you don't get to send somebody. You got to go. All right? And he goes, now take a look around you. You see all this? This is your competition. Now, you think you're in school, or you're thinking you're private school this, or you're thinking you're in advanced class here in government school. You think you're, you know, and this is your No. This is your competition. This is what you got to contend with. So I just want you to, and this is also your opposition. This is what you got to contend with. And I thought that was such a good life lesson. And even my kids, as you had, because they went to private school, we were the poor kids. You know, we did all kinds like you're doing. We raised money. We did different private programs. You know, they had the Arizona Education School Choice Trust, which was a libertarian thing for poor libertarians to be able to get into good schools. I mean, it was set up by libertarians for that purpose, and we helped push that and so on because it was in our interest. And they wanted our family to be on, because I would not sacrifice my kids' education. I just like, look, whatever it's going to take, we'll push start cars, but we're not putting them in this government school thing. So this kind of program is what helped us be able to free up our time to go advocate for freedom kind of thing, because it wouldn't have been worth it if we got to sacrifice our children in the government school kind of deal. So we go, no. And then you have the economy even gets worse now, so you're in a situation, hopefully you got them, you know, kind of schoolified, you know, they go in a couple of years in high school, they might be able to survive it, you know. But the thing is that we have, from the early stages, a lot of us have all focused on the next generation, even not our children. The Education School Choice Trust, you'll see ads for that since the beginning of Freedom's Phoenix. Over 5 years, we've had that ad up there promoting Arizona School Choice Trust because they gave me my future, my children, their future, my grandkids, their future. And that was the intent of the program from the beginning, Jack and Isabel McVaugh. They were a retired older couple in their 80s, and they started this. It was Golden State Insurance, I think, out of Michigan, Wisconsin, or something there. They had done a similar program. They liked it so much, they had them come and speak at the Phoenix Country Club. I remember this back in 94, 95. I think it was like 93, 94. And they just had the Goldwater Institute did a big thing, you know, for them, helped them on a lot of different things. They had a big 20-year anniversary at the Arizona Biltmore a few years ago. And they just, you know, so it was a 10-year in 04. That's right. So it was a 10-year anniversary they had for it. And this was just a great program to be able to just give poor children a chance by freeing them from the government schools. And we participate. We have been so focused on the next gen. Don't ever think that all our focus and all finding the truth and do this was a self-serving thing, other than we were self-served by making sure our children were taken care of. And there's a lot of creative things we can do. Well, Scott has some, you know, other incentives. He wants to tell you, you know, he's going to do something for you. What are you going to do for them? They're going to help at JordanKickboxing.com. They go there and donate. What are you going to do for them?
Well, and I think everybody out there understands this, that it's not just about the money. It's a movement. We want Jordan to have fans. We want to communicate to Jordan that the entire movement is behind him and invested in his success. We want everybody wearing a Jordan Kickboxing t-shirt. Anyone who makes a donation of more than $20, I'll send you a Jordan Kickboxing t-shirt, and you can be entered into a drawing to win some great prizes, some great stuff. We have lots of different sponsors. If they couldn't donate money, they donated their services or their products. So I have this treasure chest of stuff that I can give away to people to show our appreciation for becoming a fan of Jordan and investing in him.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, people listening to the show are all over the country. They might not be able to take advantage of some of these services and everything, but we got a solution for that. You send it to me!
Okay? Send it to Ernie.
You go to freedomsphoenix.com and you go at the bottom of the page. You go to the bottom of the front page at the very, 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 very bottom. It says Ernest Hancock, 5739 North 11th Way, Phoenix, Arizona, 85014. That's my home address. Everybody goes, oh my goodness, you put your home address on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, where tens of thousands of people every day go there, you put your home address there? I go, yes, I do. I always have. Everybody knows, all the bad guys know where I live. I want some of the good guys to know where I live, too.
It's kind of like the Karate Kid philosophy. Karate Kid, yes, or Karate, yes, you're okay. Karate, no, you're okay. Karate, guess so, you get squished like grape. So Ernie is going, I'm out there, yes, come get me.
It's, you know, I'm just not afraid. You know, there's, you know, the bad guys that would do me any harm, you know, I'll take care of it. But, you know,
he's armed.
Yeah, you know, maybe, as far as you know. But the here, but the, you know, the thing is that, you know, when you have people that, you know, are intent on doing you harm, they're going to find you. You know, that's just, you know, I've been through this so much. The big bad guys, they are bad. So I never go after individuals. You want to get in trouble? You go after the individual bad guys. You start outing them. I just use them as poster children for, you know, government in general is just bad. It's, you know, there's 50 gazillion guys that take the place of whoever the person is you're so mad about. You know, you get rid of him and the next guy is even worse. So I just, you know, it's not the person wearing the badge. It's the badge. That's
Absolutely.
The problem.
Absolutely.
So this is, I really, you know, people wonder all the things that I accomplished. We were talking about it last night at the economic discussion group. It was at a university club. It's a nice private club downtown Phoenix. And they have this every month, except during the summer. For a few months, they don't do it. But I was, started the season off this year. Oh, and next month is Mark Victor. Oh, he's gonna.
I love Mark.
I know he's gonna rip him up too. So I was just in their face. I'm going, you people, man. Oh, and I know a lot of you guys are supporting this and this and this and this. And you didn't read it. You don't understand what happened. You don't know the history of this. You know, you're just doing some 3x5 card Fox News gave you, and you just chanting. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. I mean, I was being real bad. Of course, there's probably half of the people going, yay. So they came away from something. There was a long discussion afterwards. But this is when you win this raffle, you make a donation of $20 or even more, and you get all kinds of goodies, and you can't make use of it in Memphis and in Oregon and North Carolina and Texas and Utah, where you're at. You just go to the bottom of Freedom's Phoenix, see that address, you send it to me because I want my smoothies. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here, Ernest Hancock, my special guest, Scott Decker, from here in the East Valley of the Valley of the Sun, where it's still dang hot, man. I was thinking it was starting to get cooler, and then it's like 100 and something today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I went over to my son's to help him. He just bought a house and helped him do landscape and everything. I rang the doorbell twice. He didn't come, so I guess he was asleep or busy or what. I didn't care. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. You had your chance. Boom. I went. He has a golf course right next to him. I went golfing. Golfed a 72 par. I got 91. Man, and I'm going to be breaking 90. I'm getting good. I'm getting good because I'm getting good. So I'm enjoying. It's something I've been trying to do for 30 years. I've been trying to do decent golf, and I'll tell you, over 30 years. And I'll tell you what happened. I took one lesson. Over 3 days, but I took one lesson.
Over 3 days.
and we went on a golfing vacation, me and a friend, beginning of the summer. And he goes, well, you just do this and this and this, boom, straight. Oh, yeah, and you want this flexible, more shaft, get this one drive, boom, done. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can do this. That was it. That's all it was. So I guess you need a coach, you know. And Jordan, kickboxing.com, he's got a good coach.
He's got an excellent coach.
One of the sponsors of all of this stuff is, and that's what it takes. Sometimes you have all these skills and so on, because I got skills. But the thing is that you need a coach. And he has a great coach that recognized he could be a national world champion. And I'm going, you know, so tell us about the gym and so on.
Well, and one of the things that I recognized as a father is sometimes you have to be, well, you always have to be the father. Sometimes it's not a good idea to be your son's coach. And I recognize that early. So what I've always done is I've gone out and I've found the right people that can help Jordan. And we found Thiago, and I'm going to murder his last name, Azero. He's Brazilian. He's Brazilian who grew up in Queens, New York, who moved out here to Phoenix to go to school at ASU. When he was growing up in New York City, he got involved with a gym called C-Tan Gym. It's spelled S-I-T-A-N, Gym, New York. And they had a really good coach out there. Thiago had a really good coach. He brought what he learned out here to Arizona. He opened his gym, C-10GymAZ.com, I believe is the website. He's only 25 years old. He's only about that tall. He's a young kid. It's amazing what he can get
this
out of his
radio,
pleasure.
Man. What's that tall mean?
He's not very big. I walked in and I saw Thiago, and I took one look at him, and I was like, yeah, I'm looking for Thiago. And he's like, oh, I'm Thiago. And I'm like, no, I must be looking for your father, because you're like 12. But then I watched him move. Wow. I was impressed. He moves really well, but what's more, he knows how to coach players. He knows how to coach an athlete. He's brought things out of my son that no other coach has ever brought out of him. Made him a national champion. So if you're in the Valley, you definitely need to go see Thiago at C10 Gym. It's in Chandler, right around Alma School and Elliott. Tell him that you heard about it on the radio, because he can make you a champion too.
Well, give us some of the sponsors. Who are the people that are getting involved in this thing?
Well, Pure Fitness is a sponsor. I don't think Pure Fitness is national, but it's a pretty big chain of gyms, fitness centers here. Jordan gets up every morning at 5:30 and he heads to the gym. So everybody at the gym, they are always asking him, how you doing? Are you getting ready? He trains at Pure Fitness, every morning. Pure Fitness was generous. They gave us 2 1-year memberships to give away. So someone's going to get a 1-year membership to Pure Fitness.
That they're going to send to me. Go ahead.
Then also One Stop Nutrition. If you just go down the street in between the Pure Fitness and C10 Gym is One Stop Nutrition, and that's where we always go in to get our fruit smoothies. You know, we get it with the protein supplements. I think Jordan kind of likes the mango. Kyle is the manager down there. He's
Strananaberry.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
He's always treating us really well, and of course he wanted to be a sponsor as well. And then Jordan works at Einstein Bagels. I mean, this kid, he's busy. He goes to school. He's up at 5:30 every morning. He goes to school. As soon as he's done with school, he gets on that homework. He's taking one class online, chemistry. He's doing well. We don't do math at the public school because that's a waste of time. He's got a couple other classes, and then he heads over to Einstein Bagels, where he puts in a few hours there. When he's done at Einstein Bagels, he heads over to the gym. He trains 3 or 4 hours every night. So Einstein Bagels.
Well, let's get back. How do you do math? Is he learning math at all? From what?
Well, one of the sponsors is Kumon. Now, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Kumon, but they have to get familiar with Kumon. It's spelled K-U-M-O-N. I was so disgusted with the math program that I saw in the public school.
Government school.
So I started asking around smart people, you know, people with letters after their name. Well, what should we do? And they said, well, you really need to check out this Kumon. So I took Jordan down to the Kumon Center. It's the Tempe Lake Center. Mrs. Rana runs it. She's a great lady. We've actually known her for years now, because Samuel also does it. We first got introduced because Samuel needed help. We thought Jordan was just fine, but we learned as soon as he went to public school, things are not fine.
Government school,
because they're not teaching them math. I don't know what they're doing in class all day. The Kumon method, it's not a teacher sitting up at a chalkboard lecturing with the back to the student, and you're just hoping they get it. The students sit down in a small group. You got a teacher, and you got 4 or 5 kids in front of you, and then they do the concept. The teacher then reviews the concept with the student. They have them correct it then and there, because if they're not correcting it then and there, they won't remember. It's not gonna soak in. They're not gonna get it. They have them correct it then and there, and then they have them do it again. And they do it again, and they do it again, and then they do it again until they've mastered the concept before they ever move on. See, what we discovered is, with the government school, they were just passing kids along. They're just passing kids along. They don't understand math. They don't understand how to the computation of fractions. You know, who knows fractions anymore in our country? How to fractions or decimals?
Hell, I don't remember if I ever did.
They don't do it. Boy, Jordan can times fractions and decimals like nobody's business now, and it's because we got him involved in Kumon. We cut loose the government school. We went and invested our time and our energy and a little bit of money, because, you know, nothing's free. I told my kids, nothing's free. Nothing that's worthwhile anyway is free. And we can't be more pleased with the results. So, and keep going back to the website, because you're going to get all the updates. You're going to hear more stories like this, like the Kumon. I wrote an article once before about the Kumon method. Keep going back to the blog, JordanKickboxing.com, and not only are we going to keep sharing this information with you, you get to follow Jordan's journey. You're going to hear, you guys that are following his blog, you're going to be the first to hear how he's doing. You're going to be the first to find out that he's now a world champion.
And well, keep going, man. I know you have a lot of other sponsors that are supportive of this.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody's been real helpful. Like I was saying, he works for Einstein Bagels.
Oh, they give me. Do I get a bunch of bagels?
Yeah, we got a bunch. We can give away a bunch of sandwiches. I mean, you want a sandwich from Einstein Bagels? I know Einstein Bagels is all over the country. They have great sandwiches. You want a sandwich? You send in more than $20. I'll give you a Jordan kickboxing T-shirt. Your name is put into the raffle. We got tons of stuff we can give away. Maybe you'll get a sandwich, and it's a great sandwich.
You know, this is I tell you, Scott. You know, when he approached me, well, and I tell you what happened. We didn't even know that you went to National. All of a sudden, we're reading in the newspaper that he won,
yeah.
And you're sending it out and everything. I go, Jordan? I know that kid, the little scrawny, seriously? Right on. So, of course, Scott, you know, just prouder than heck. But and he's going, you know, this thing came with a burden. Now they want us to go to Scotland. You know, we can't afford to do it. So he started, you know, doing what dads do, trying to, you know, take care of his son, get creative and so on. Of course we're going to help. You know, what can we do? Well, the first thing is allow you to. JordanKickboxing.com and then follow it. I mean, is it worth $20 to get a shirt and some entertainment? You know, it just follow. It's like a lottery ticket that you're pretty sure is going to pay off.
Yeah, get on the team. You have your favorite football team. You have your favorite basketball team. Get on Jordan's team. Show your colors.
Yeah, you do it. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No roads! No roads, no roads, no roads. You know, what does that mean? And everybody gets all freaked out about it. You know, I'll tell you why. This is what always happens. You get into kind of libertarian discussions with anyone about, you know, government's just, you know, bad on every level. I can't even, you know, whatever promise they made, well, they don't keep it. And it always turns into something bad anyway. Yeah, but what about the roads? Roads? Well, we're going, there aren't any roads. You know, think about it. That's one thing, an argument I got into with, it was the Symington administration. Fife Symington was governor of Arizona in the early 90s, and there was a big debt thing going on, and they were exceeding in lawsuits that we had, and blah, blah, blah. And the representative from the governor's office, the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, and they back and forth, and they came to terms on one thing. They're opposing my lawsuit. That's one thing they were opposing. And they came in, and they wanted to, you know, reason with me. They always want to reason with you. They want to, you know, what do you want? Is what they're really saying. You know, yeah, we have a place for guys. Just like, you know, we need somebody like you, a creative, blah, 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 vanity, my favorite sin. I mean, they always, I just don't want to have anything to do with these guys. But they were trying to convince me that, you know, a lot of things. One, well, there's good debt. Pray tell. I'm all ears, man. Tell me all about this good debt you want to talk about. This is the argument that they made. When we do bonds and we raise taxes and we raise money and we go into debt for the roads, well, years later, decades later, you know, there's these kids, they're going to be driving on these roads. And do you think that they should get the benefit of these roads without having to pay for them? So we in debt so that they got to keep paying the interest on these roads. Yeah, you know, they'll go, you know, 10, 20, 30 year bonds, you know, to fund these roads. And I go, you know, you guys just don't see it the way I do. What? What, Ernie? Tell us. And I go, you're guaranteeing that whether they drive on the roads or not, they got to pay for them. You know, I'm like, did it ever cross your mind that I'm expecting, you know, I don't get to live like the Jetsons flying around my little Uber car because of you, because of the government has indebted us with all these excuses and you've guaranteed for decades that we're landlocked. I have to have roads. Because you're not allowing me. You know how much cheaper it is? Heck, you just give me my portion of the debt for these roads. I'll go buy my own, you know, vertical takeoff and landing freaking helicopter. Oh, no, 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 no. Can't do that. Why? Why am I not allowed to do it? Just keep the money and I'll get and travel whatever is cheap. Don't have a road. Guess what? I'm going to get there in my little blimp or something. Heck, my transporter. I mean, whatever is, you are guaranteeing that this next generation, whether they use it or not, are going to pay for the roads.
And they're teaching him that. It's interesting that you bring that up because Jordan's a senior in high school. He has to take government and he has to take economics. So he's in economics class right now. So I enjoy sitting down and talking to Jordan about his economics. We work on his homework together. I help him get ready for tests and whatnot. They're actually teaching him, they're teaching the kids that debt is good. And that government needs to be involved in the economy. If it wasn't for the government steering the economy, it would be anarchy. So in this, his most recent test, the test question was, name two reasons why the government has to be involved in the economy.
That isn't leading.
and I don't condone the answer, but I laughed because his answer was, number one, the government should not be involved. Number two, stop listening to Keynes. Start listening to Hayek.
Well, at least he even knows what it means, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, they haven't even mentioned Keynes in his textbook yet, but it's that same Keynesian myth. Constantly. Haven't we figured it out yet, people? Keynes was wrong. You have to figure out better ways to invest, capital investment, not spending on willy-nilly, your window's broken kind of stuff. And the teacher made an example of him. I guess he's now on the teacher's bad list because she was like, oh, you guys did horrible on the test. We even had one student who said, we can't have government involved in the economy. That's just nuts.
Really? Seriously? They were going on about that?
Yeah, she made an example of him, apparently. I was like, no, Jordan, you can't do that. You're smarter than her. You know what the answer's supposed to be. You were just being a smart aleck. Don't do that in school. But he couldn't help it. He's 17.
Yeah, you know, I went through the same thing with my daughter, Rhea. She was my oldest, and went to Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High, you know, and you have four kids, man, you get to know all the teachers well. Yep, here's number four, you know, oh no, it's the Hancock.
Not another Hancock.
Right, you know, but they always enjoyed our kids. They were, you know, leaders, you know, and they got along and things. But, you know, I always was running for office. I was the libertarian candidate for fill in the blank, you know, Congress, U.S. Senate, Secretary of State. So they'd have their little mock elections and everything and so on, you know, and I always win. I just really make the teachers mad. But my daughter, she was in, I guess it was her junior, senior year. It was a government class, you know, required Arizona history and government, that kind of thing. And we go in the gym. They put the plastic out on all the gym, you know, and put the tables up, and everybody goes and walks out and meets teachers and everything. So every time they had the parent-teacher thing, we always go, made time to go and talk to them just to say whatever. And with four kids there at the same time, I mean, we were running around, you know, dip, and we were just zipping around trying to get everybody. Well, this one that later would become the principal, you know, he and I never really saw eye to eye. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, but, you know, he's like, so I hear at home that, you know, one, I don't even care what you say now. It's at home. Bite me. You know, you only get so much of my kid here, you know, so in a nice way. But what happened was in the government class, he was saying, well, your daughter could have gotten an A instead of a B if she participated in class more. And I go, well, what do you mean? What's she not doing? Well, we have, you know, marks for participation. You know, we'll put out content. I'll get them to respond to certain things and, you know, and repeat back what they've learned, you know, this kind of stuff and everything. It's always repeat back what they learned, you know.
Yeah.
And he actually says this, and I'm going, repeat back what you, well, like what?
Like a monkey.
So he's going to the economic stuff. They're going, and I go, all right. I'm going to share this with you just so that you understand. I go, I've talked to my daughter about it, and she tells, you know, kind of things that they're talking about. And I just want you to know that she would be more than happy to respond and give her opinion on these things if that's what you really want, is her opinion. But she knows that what she's going to have to say about government and economics coming from dad, okay, perspective, is that you probably wouldn't be happy with that, and you wouldn't see it as anything other than disruptive of the class, and that, you know, she's just trying to be polite and not, you know, challenge you in the classroom. Now, if you want her to, I mean, I will encourage it and stand up and salute and whatever you want. Man, I'll go get her and go give them what for her. And all you got to do is just say it, and I'm all over it, man. We'll make it happen to start tomorrow.
Let's have a debate.
And he's like, well, we don't want any disruptions of the club. I go, yeah, that's what I thought, you know. So I'm just, you know, next. So I can see what they're doing. You know, they want you to confess. You know, it matters not. I've never played, you know, allegiance to anybody. I know, you know, the Braveheart thing. You know, I never, you know, said this, they were my king. I never, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I don't believe. No, it matters not. He is your king. And they want you to kiss the ring. Yes. You know, they want you to repeat. They want you to acknowledge it, especially in a Christian school. Okay. So as Christians, you know, we're like, yeah, okay, you know, bring it on. It's all good. You know, there's a little bit of deprogramming needs to even be done there. But, you know, the thing was, is that I didn't find them to be malicious, but they did have their agenda, and he sure as heck did. And I'm just going, my kids know when they're, you know, like Jordan, he's going, you know, he stuck it to him. And my kids kind of, maybe we won't. We'll just let it slide. We know what's what. And that's all I cared about. You know, you go and get the grade, whatever. I don't care. I'll take an F every now and then just for out of principle. But, let's get good grades. Well, they don't really want you to do it.
No. And I told Jordan, you have to understand Keynesian philosophy. You have to understand Keynesian economics so that you know what to identify. You can't just, you know, I hear Dad making jokes about Keynes and therefore I don't need to learn this. No, Jordan, that's not true. You do need to understand Keynesian economics so that you can understand what's wrong with it.
Yeah, and that's one thing. And so the audience knows real quick before we get to the break what we're talking about. Keynes was an economist that, back in the day around the creation of Federal Reserve and all that time and so on. And the bottom line was there are dials, interest rates, money supply, all this kind of stuff, manipulations that the government can control or direct the economy by turning dials. Well, the Austrian economics, the Ron Paul economics, the, you know, free market economics is you can turn your dials all you want. All you do is build up bubbles and have all this crash back and forth and this cycle that you keep talking. If you just let it go, the free market's self-regulating. You don't have these wild swings. It regulates itself. All you got to do is have a stable legal platform that protects individual property rights, and everything solves itself all by itself. It's magic. Well, no. Let me tell you what magic they want to use. They want to use government force, government law, government regulation, government to benefit Goldman Sachs. Okay? That's what they want to do. And that was what our first hour is about. You know, I got to get these guys. It wasn't deregulation that did this. It was just a different kind of regulation. Who are we kidding? We'll be right back for a final segment here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we got Rocket out with some Doobie Brothers here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and sitting in my good friend Scott Decker. Now, you know, Scott is a private investigator that's been, you know, that's what he was doing when I first met you back in the late 90s. And it's, we'll do a whole show on that. You know, you taught me so much stuff. I went on Jim Sharp's show when he was over at KFYI one time. We were doing some privacy thing and, you know, legislation and more government being bad and so on. I was on the radio and I was sitting at the computer. And they have the guests, you know, has computers, and we have computers here for people, guests, they can come in and surf, and we can talk about different things. I said, all right, everybody get on your computer. I want to show you something. And we went to the county recorder's eye. I showed them how to research documents, how to find out anything about anybody on anything. I said, and these guys, they wanted, the legislator wanted to do more. That's a long story. But what happened is the board op that was there at the Clear Channel station there, during the break, he comes out and he goes, wow. I just looked up my grandparents and everything. They have all these trusts, made me beneficiary and all kinds of, I gotta go visit my grandparents. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that you can find out, and we'll do that show. That'd be a good show.
I'd love to.
You know, because you have no idea how much, and I'm for fine. You put all the information out, everybody, because the bad guys, they want to make them secret. They, you know, they, all the king's men get to be secret, but not you. So I'm like, no. If we're going to do this Big Brother thing, guess what? How you cure Big Brother thing? Everybody gets to be Big Brother. Everybody gets to see everything about everybody. You do that, you know, because what's the difference? If you don't do that, then what? Only the bad guys get access to this information. That makes you feel better somehow? That only the government gets to have access to everything? That's why I put, you know, they tried to threaten me one time. It was back when we were doing your thing. You know, there was, I don't want to get into it. We'll do it when you come in. It was, he was wanting to be able to register to vote without having all, because he's a private investigator. He knows when you register to vote, that puts all kinds of personal information out there, your address, phone number, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, look, I don't want to have to give up my privacy in order to exercise my franchise. That's kind of crap. And the government, they go, oh, it finally gets to the last day for him to register. Okay. They were afraid we were going to file a lawsuit, which you were. Yep. And they go, all right, the deadline that day, it was like a Tuesday or something, 7 o'clock at night. He comes in. They let him register like homeless people. Okay. They say, okay, well, we'll give you, where you live. We'll validate that and everything. And you can use, Starbucks or a P.O. box or whatever. So that he wouldn't have standing to file the lawsuit. That week, they took his driver's license picture of his driver's license and gave it to the NBC affiliate, and they did a big story on it and put your driver's license on television saying, this guy tried to get away from doing, oh, I just go, you guys, game freaking on. And I got mine out of them, man. I went, oh, we had some fun with that one, because that's just how evil they are. All it was, and it's an issue even now. But my kids now, it's got to where you're still voting. I mean, you know, we're just so past that. But when my daughter turned 18, you know, if she cared by then it was so corrupt and everything, we just didn't even care. But I go, you know, if you want to register to vote, we'll go and do this, and we'll do a 14th Amendment violation, Equal Protection Clause, because you can't give 14th Amendment. You cannot give special rights or privileges that don't equally apply to everyone. Unless you're a judge, officer,
unless,
card,
yeah.
You know, all this other,
unless
the King's
you're one
men.
Of the King's men, yeah, that's exactly.
And
right.
I'm going, I'm just sitting over here. I'm waiting, and I'm going to get some more because we had a loss. We had our fun, but I'm telling you, this is evil thinking. And don't think I forgot about that. You know, when the perfect time, Super Bowl time, you know, we'll bring that up, and there he'll come, that lawsuit. How are they going to defend against that? You know, I don't care what the judge says. Everybody's going to know. Wait a minute. We'll get this straight. The King's men get to be, private and secret, and we don't? What kind of crap is that? So that's why I put my name on the front page or whatever and everything, because I'm like, screw you, because of what they did to Scott.
Yeah. Well, there's a story there, and we don't want to get into the story, all the minutiae of the story now, because I'm going to come on Tuesday. I just came in to talk with his producer to schedule the time that I would come in
Dad,
on Tuesday.
He was here, so get on the
so
mic.
So come on in here. So here we go. But there was an issue at the time. My family had a stalker at the time. I had a man who was upset with me because I did my job. I didn't do anything to him. I just did my job, and that upset him. If he'd have been doing what he was supposed to do, he wouldn't have been in that predicament.
Yeah, there was a car repossessed. He didn't pay you on the whatever.
Exactly. So
he's like, comes in, it's phone calls. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, he said he was going to kill my wife and children and burn my house down. So I'm concerned for my family.
Well, fortunately, he like an idiot. He did on your answering machine. You
took
the tape to the cops.
Yeah, he got convicted of assault. But I went down to elections and I said, "Look, I've had this problem, and I've working in what I work. I saw how they kept the records. Things were not a clean kitchen in there. Let me tell you. But again, we'll talk about that a different day. I very politely said, "Hey, I've got this issue, and I'm hoping you can help me with it." They were so rude. I was like, oh, yeah? And they made this just rude comment that they decide. What do you mean, you decide? We decide. Fine, we'll see about that. And that's when we geared up our campaign. Because if you're a police officer, you don't even have to justify why you want it kept private.
If you're a judge.
A judge. But if you're a woman who has a boyfriend who's stalking you and you're afraid of them, you don't get entitled, at least at that time. Now, after what we did, they did change the law a little bit. We didn't get what we asked for. What we wanted is for anyone to be able to file a petition with the court to explain what their circumstances were, and anyone could have their information redacted. And cops didn't like it. Judges didn't like it because they don't want to have a reason. They want to be insulated from the right things as well. Some of you may be familiar with our sheriff here, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Let me tell you, I don't think too much of Sheriff Joe Arpaio because I've had to try to serve the man before. I've tried to serve him a summons. He's in the business of serving summons. He's in law enforcement. He's our sheriff. You think he would hide from service of process? Like nobody's business with his big old goons and their guns. They will hide.
He gets served a lot of stuff.
You think he'd be used to it by now? He'll lock you in a little. What are you doing here today? Well, I came to serve the sheriff. Well, come right in this way, and they'll put you in a little room and they'll lock you in it. I'm like, can you let me out now? They keep me in there for hours. No, we're not going to let you out. Kidnapping here, dude. The guy's kind of a jerk.
No. These guys, they go, you should want to replace him or run against him. I go, replace him? Heck, he's the best poster child for bad government I got, man. Are you kidding me? I want him right where he's at.
He's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job. So there's a lot more to that story, and that's how you and I got to know each other, because you'd moved here from Idaho, and it's like, I'm a libertarian. You know, is there libertarians here that can help? You need to talk to Ernie.
Go see Ernie.
And it was so, when they did that thing, they enticed you down there. Okay, we agree. We're going to do it. Take away your standing to file a suit and let you do that. And then accused you of doing a crime that they had you come down to do to keep them from getting sued. And then took your driver's license and plastered it on television. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? When you come back next week, you listen this Tuesday, and I'll tell you what I did. Ernie got some for him. And it's continuing. They know that.
We could be back at any time.
I just got it sitting over there. It's going to come the right time for that one. I'm going to have some fun with that. But, you know, one thing before, I do got to cover a little bit of the news, but go ahead and tell me about, you know, the Facebook fan page for Jordan, because I want people at least go on, you got a Facebook account. You just go on Facebook and say, hello, heard your dad, man.
Please do follow the blog, jordankickboxing.com. But what we also did is we set Jordan up a fan page on Facebook. Now, if you do Facebook, great. Look for his fan page. It's Jordan Citan Decker. Jordan, A-N, Citan, S-I-T-A-N, Decker, D-E-C-K-E-R. Fan him. Say you like it or whatever.
Is that his real middle name?
No, that's the name of his gym.
Yeah, I was wondering.
That's the name of the gym that he trains under, so we want to give props to – we want to give –
Very cool.
Recognition for the gym as well, because he's doing as well as he's doing because he's getting good coaching. Just fan it, just like it, and then just comment, hey, Jordan, heard your dad on the radio today. Quit giving your economics teacher a hard time.
Help him parent. You got to turn him into a good
little socialist. You will freak him out. He's like, oh, my God. What have you done, Dad? What have you done?
Yeah, go get him one for Jordan. That's what I say. All right. But, we're almost at the end of the show. There was so much. We'll do it tomorrow. I'll give you a lot of the news that's going on. But let me tell you what the bottom line is. It's bad. one thing I did want to bring up is that say goodbye to sunspots. We've been screaming about this since the mid-90s, global warming thing. We had astrophysicists on, and they're going, hello, you think it might be that thermonuclear device up in space there that might have something to do with our weather? And it has its own cycles and so on, and they're going, the sunspots are starting to get less and less, and it's going to be, we're going to start going into a cooling cycle. I don't know what the heck they're going to do with this global warming thing. Let me tell you what they're doing. Now you have Obama's science advisor, don't call it global warming. This is from CNS News. John Holdren, director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, says that the term global warming is a dangerous misnomer that should be replaced with global climate disruption. So they're going to call it global warming anymore.
Disruption.
Yeah, it could go either way, man. Because in the 70s, I remember we were in an ice age was coming and stuff. It's just so much crap. So we'll talk about tomorrow. Let's see, what do we got tomorrow? I'll tell you what we got tomorrow. What do we got tomorrow? Oh, yeah. Tomorrow we got Charles Key, Oklahoma City bombing. Charles Key is a representative in Oklahoma. We've had him on the radio a long time before, and they got him out. Well, then he got back in. Oh, and they're finding more stuff. Oklahoma City bombing's gotten its own documentary coming out. That was our 9/11 from back in the day. Well, Representative Oklahoma Charles Key will be on tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. And I'll get us caught up on the news. Yeah, it's bad. But we all need to know it, so we're not afraid. We'll see you tomorrow on the radio. Have a good day.